Live from the KSRM studios on KB Road, KSRM 920 AM and 92.5 FM presents Decision 2023. Tonight, we feature the candidates for Kenai Peninsula Borough Board of Education, District 3, Nikiski. In studio are candidates Jason Torianen and Lindsay Bertoldo. During tonight's forum, you'll hear their opinions on the issues that matter to you. And now, here's your host for tonight's forum on KSRM, Adriana Hernandez-Santana.
Good evening. Welcome and thank you for joining us for KSRM's 2023 Candidate Forum Series. Tonight, we bring you the sixth installment in our eight-part forum series. So with us in studio right now, we have Miss Lindsay Bertoldo. How you doing today?
Well, how are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. We are also hoping that Mr. Jason Torianen will join us later via phone. He is traveling right now, so we are hoping he is able to make it. We will definitely see. But for now, I am going to give you just, you know, a quick little second time to, you know, introduce yourself, how you came to Peninsula. Let's get to learn about you.
Okay. Hi, I'm Lindsay Bertoldo, and I'm the challenger for the Nikiski School Board seat. I'm from the greater Cincinnati area, though I'm not much of a city girl, as half my childhood I spent on a farm in the corn and hay fields in southeast Indiana. In high school, I tutored kids at the grade school and wrote for and worked on the school newspaper. I majored in secondary education and English literature at the University of Cincinnati. After 9/11, I joined the Air Force and met my husband at our first duty station overseas in England. While Adam was on his way to church one Sunday evening, and I invited myself along. We married within months and had our first child, who's now 18, and I deployed to Iraq while our son was just 6 months old. We moved to Alaska in 2014 and discovered the Kenai Peninsula in early 2015. And we tried out Soldotna for a time, but after renting a homestead in Nikiski, we decided to settle here and start building homes in this neck of the woods.
All right, perfect. Thank you for that. So we are going to jump in with our first question then. These first couple of questions, nice, easy, nothing too crazy. So what made you decide to run for the Board of Education?
Well, I'm running because, like many in the borough, I have a lot of concerns about the direction that the school board has been going since we moved here in 2015, even before COVID. My family and I are invested in this area. It's more challenging to sell homes and attract young families to this area to work or to stay and work if we cannot brag about our schools, which is the case right now with our schools in Nikiski. I have some solutions, and our current school board member just hasn't been the strong conservative member Nikiski needs and wants to counter the things that the left-leaning school board is pushing in our school district. We have a conservative borough compared to the rest of the state. One wouldn't know it by the policies, actions, and statements made by the current body makeup on the school board, so I couldn't let the incumbent run unopposed.
All right, thank you for that answer. Next question I have for you, how do you feel that your past jobs, your past education, and previous community service has prepared you for this seat on the assembly?
Well, when I tutored in high school, that was my first eye-opening experience of how difficult it can be to educate a child who isn't motivated and who is mentally in another place and not willing or able to participate in learning. And I have the experience of teaching two very different children of my own, so I understand the teacher's challenges. And I grew up in a home that wasn't ideal with married parents who were my biological mom and dad to support me, so I get where those kids are coming from, too. I attended 11 different public schools by the time I was in the sixth grade, from schools that did everything right to schools that didn't, from inner city schools to schools in the suburbs to the poorest part in the U.S. in the Appalachian Mountains. From a school where I was the minority as far as race is concerned to schools where there were almost no minorities. So I can relate to different backgrounds, cultures, and social classes. My Air Force experience taught me the importance of working as a team, discipline, integrity, service, excellence, and sacrifice for others, as well as how to identify and solve problems. I think I'm unique for the role on the school board because of the experience I don't have is important too, meaning I'm not a member of any union. I'm not employed in the educational system, nor is my spouse. I don't know most of the people working in the schools or the district, so I can have an objective view of the problems and shortfalls, and I won't be compromised in decisions.
Perfect. Thank you for that answer. Next question I have for you. If you had to name just one issue, in your opinion, what is the most pressing issue that needs to be addressed by the Board of Education within the next 3 years?
Well, I think results. Using proven woke-free curriculum, as well as higher standards, including behavioral standards, kind of like I hear Aurora Borealis is doing. I can't believe these scores from the Alaska Star Assessment, which we found on the Alaska Deeds website for Nikiski. The math score was just 12% for middle high, the middle high school. And the MAP growth grade report results for 2022 to 2023 aren't much better. Don't indicate grade level readiness or measure mastery, according to the website. It's hard to call it a school with scores like this. I mean, how can anybody expect more funding when education isn't happening? We're only constitutionally required to fund schools, which are institutions that educate by definition.
All right, thank you. I want to go back on a question that you mentioned earlier. You said that the current school board is left-leaning. So do you have any examples of decisions the board has made that made you consider that it was left-leaning?
Well, one recent one is one that my my opponent recently voted on along with the school board, and that was to limit challenges to curriculum down to just one challenge on educational materials, including curriculum and including books that are in the school libraries. And so that just kind of was not transparent to me, which is the opposite of what they claimed they were wanting earlier in the school board meeting, and what they have been claiming consistently, that they wanted parental involvement and that they wanted community involvement and transparency, and that just wasn't lining up with that.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
We have this one now. In your opinion, what is the best way to define the role of a member of the school board?
So I think the best way to, short and sweet, my role would be a representative and a voice for my constituents, to listen to their concerns, share my own concerns with them, work with others to identify and solve problems that exist and may arise, hire and support the right superintendent who will hire and support the right people to educate our children and ensure that they are successful in life, and write or change policies to guide the district in that endeavor.
All right. What particular issue motivates you to want to serve on the school district as a board member?
Let's see. I had some comments written down because I was expecting that question. employment and kids being able to pursue happiness when they're older and have a sense of dignity. Employers are increasingly having trouble finding responsible, moral young people who are willing and able to show up for work and do the job. And it breaks my heart to know that so many children are struggling in schools and in jobs when they're older because they can't do basic things like read and make change at the cash register. And if they can't read, they can't read the Bible when they're searching for hope and answers to life's hardest questions. And that's not acceptable to me.
All right. Next question I have for you. How do you feel like the borough handled COVID?
I think that it took them too long to figure out that there was no reason for us to be worried about masking up, to be pushing vaccines, to be locking down schools, to be testing kids constantly. We knew pretty soon that it wasn't going to be much of a danger to kids, that it wasn't going to be life-threatening, and we know that it did more harm than good. And I think that it shows a lack of wisdom that they didn't figure that out sooner.
So when you're saying you feel like it did more harm than good, can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Sure. Like we know that kids have, you know, struggled with the interaction with having to wear masks, not being able to see their teachers' faces. A lot of children are having trouble communicating. I mean, even Superintendent Holland pointed that out, that, for instance, he mentioned one kid that was coming to school growling because of that. Kids being depressed because of not being able to be with their friends and just the anxiety of things not being normal and not just having close interaction with people that they love that they normally should be able to. So,
you're saying normal. Do you feel that the school has been able to start coming back to something that looks normal? Do you feel like it's been forever changed? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do think that in a lot of ways it is forever changed unless we start doing some things different, like back to the way it was completely before COVID. But yeah, I think the fear is still there that we may go back to that. And I want to give people a sense that I want them to feel like we're not going to go back there again. I want them to feel confident of that.
All right, thank you. This next question I have for you. So, what is something you have done in the field of education that you believe has had the greatest positive impact on students, families, educational staff, and why?
Probably homeschooling my own children. You know, the tutoring that I did when I was in high school really gave me an interesting experience to see for the first time what it is like for kids who are struggling to grasp concepts. And, you know, with my own kids, seeing the differences between them and how they learn differently and just how they're so much different. You know, one who loves to read and learn and one who's just staring out the window and can't wait to get outside. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you. How do you feel homeschooling has, you know, benefited you personally?
Well, it's helped me to understand how important curriculum is. It's helped me to understand how children learn differently. It's helped me to learn myself. I actually had to relearn a lot of the stuff in order to teach it. And that has increased my confidence and my desire to learn. And so I really recommend people to try it. It may not work for everybody, but I think that if anybody can try it, that they should try it. And I think they'd be amazed at what they would learn.
All right. Thank you for that. We are approaching our first segment break. So if you would like to hear past forums, you can visit our election hub at RadioKenai.com. KSRM's Election 2023 Hub has everything you need to know about every candidate in the upcoming borough and municipal election. You'll also find details on how to locate your local polling area on election day, profiles on the candidates running for Kenai Peninsula Borough, City of Kenai, and City of Soldotna. This is KSRM's coverage of Decision 2023 on KSRM 920 AM, 92.5 SM, and RadioKenai.com.
Prime Lending here with Mortgage 101. What is annual percentage rate or APR? It is the interest rate on your loan plus certain closing costs stated as a yearly rate to illustrate the true cost of credit. APR can help you compare loan options to make an informed choice. For more information about APR, contact your Kenai Peninsula Prime Lending team at 907-205-3402. Diane Durfee, Production Manager, NMLS 759439. All loans subject to credit approval. Rates and fees subject to change. Prime Lending, a Plains Capital Company. NMLS 13649, Equal Housing Lender.
Gino steps up, waits, throws to the end zone. Oh, what a catch! DK Metcalf skies, touchdown, Seahawks!
The Seahawks are back on the road as they travel to New York to battle the Giants in primetime. Join Steve Rabel and Dave Wyman this Monday night, pregame at 2, kickoff at 4:15.
Seahawks football on KSRM brought to you by AK Express, Country Liquor, Dr. James Julian DDS, Floors Unlimited, Odyssey Family Practice, Peninsula Surgery Aesthetics, and Dance Automotive.
Hi, I'm Adam Bertoldo. I'm running for the Nikiski seat on the Borough Assembly. Almost 9 years ago, we chose to move our family to the Kenai Peninsula, and this has been a great place to live and work. Our assembly needs more conservative representation. I stand for values like small government, liberty, no mandates, secure borough elections, and parental rights. And I want to represent Nikiski with these values. Vote Adam for Assembly, the conservative choice. Paid for by Adam for Assembly. Box 3275, Soldotna.
Are you finishing work projects and ready to play this winter? Alaska Trailer has exactly what you need. Get your new Alcom enclosed trailers for snow machines. That's 11 and 12 foot tilt snow machine trailers. Get over there for their huge blowout sale happening now. Alaska Trailer on K Beach can custom order from the manufacturer to include heat packages, bunk beds, boot warmers, and many other options. Get the trailer you have always dreamed about with Daniel at Alaska Trailer. Check out their specials at akhall.com.
Welcome back to KSRM's coverage of Decision 2023 on KSRM 920 AM, 92.5 FM, and RadioKenai.com.
Good evening. I'm Adriana Hernandez Santana. We are now going to continue our Board of Education with candidates from District 3. We have Lindsay Bertaldo in studio, and now calling in, we have Jason Torianen. So, hi, how you doing, Jason?
Hey, I'm doing okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly.
Yeah, sorry, our plane got delayed. I was on a tight window anyways to get to you guys, and good to be back in God's country in Alaska. So,
no, definitely. Thank you for, you know, joining us. I did want to let you know, so we will give you a 60 seconds to introduce yourself, and then all our segments, question-wise, you will be allotted 60 seconds. And then on your end, you're going to hear a little high-pitched sound, and that's going to indicate that you have, I believe, 15 seconds left. And then you are done after that, and then we will move on. I'm going to read the rules real quick just because we do have to readjust a little bit. So when it comes to our ruling, it's pretty much going to be where, like I mentioned before, you will have 60 seconds to say whatever your response is to a question I ask. It's going to then go to Ms. Bertaldo. And then as long as there is no portion of the answer that is directed at the opponent, we'll move on to the next question. And then within the end of the hour, within the end of the hour, you each will have 60 seconds for closing remarks. So sound pretty good for both you guys? Yeah, all good. Perfect. All righty.
So I didn't hear any of that.
Oh, okay. So I'll go through real fast. You're perfectly fine. Don't you worry. So rule-wise, each candidate will be asked a question by the moderator, yours truly, and they will each have 60 seconds to respond. If any portion of the candidate's response is specifically directed at their opponent, the opponent will have 30 seconds to respond. Then the first candidate will have 30 seconds to provide a final thought on their opponent's response. In the event that no portion of the answer is directed at the opponent, we will simply move on to the next moderator question. And when we get to the closing areas of our hour at the end of the forum, we will give each candidate 60 seconds for closing remarks.
Okay.
All right, perfect. Thank you. All right. And then I did like to mention, too, you will hear a little ding on your end, and that's going to be indicating that your time is just about up.
Okay.
All right. Awesome. So I'm actually going to let you give yourself, you know, a quick little 60-second intro to, you know, introduce yourself to the listeners, how you came to the peninsula, everything about you.
Okay. Yeah, I've been on the peninsula since 1977, moved here. My family, great uncle homesteaded here, and my dad was stationed at Fort Rich during Vietnam, and he really loved it and moved us back here when I was 5 years old. Attended multiple schools in the district, including KPBSD and Christian schools. While I was here, I graduated from Nikitsky Middle High School, so I'm an alum of our district. I love our schools. I love Nikitsky Middle High School and Nikitsky North Star, and a strong advocate for them. I chose to get on the board because I was switching careers in my 40s, decided to become a firefighter paramedic, which I do now at Nikitsky Fire Department. And I just decided to run on the school board because it was something I've always wanted to do. And I won, and I've been there for the end of my second term.
All right, perfect. Thank you for that. We did ask Ms. Bertaldo some questions, but I am going to give you the opportunity to answer one question real fast. So What made you decide to seek re-election for the Board of Education?
Well, it's actually funny because I was actually looking to see if somebody wanted to step in, but I had sort of a specific thing I was looking for somebody that was interested in it, because it's sort of hard to find somebody. I've always been a conservative, been a lifelong Republican, and somebody that sort of is socially and fiscally conservative. But I also strongly advocate and support public schools. And sometimes it's hard to find that sort of blend. And so had a lot of people asking me to run again. And I just felt like there was some unfinished business for some things that I was wanting to do, especially with the BSA funding. Also some discussion about 4-day school week, which we'll see what happens with that one way or the other. Decided it was in the best interest. People were really asking, and I felt like I needed to do it again. And I'm happy to be a candidate, and I welcome the support.
All right, perfect. Thank you for that. So we are going to go starting questions again. I'm going to jump to Ms. Bartaldo. So were there any decisions made or actions taken by the school board that you personally disagreed with within the last 3 years, and why?
Yeah, and one of them was what I mentioned earlier was the vote to limit challenges to one on the curriculum and books in the libraries. You know, like I said, it's the opposite of what the school district has been saying it wants to be, which is transparent and welcoming for input from the members of the community and parents and even concerned students. That is my biggest thing, along with curriculum. The new curriculum that we got this year has some controversial things in it. I've been hearing complaints from teachers. A lot of teachers do not want to, they don't feel comfortable teaching the content. And some of them just don't agree with it because of their faith or because they're just not familiar with it and they don't have enough time to learn it in order to teach it to the kids so that the kids can get a full grasp on it and really do well with it.
All right. Mr. Torianen, same question for you. Were there any decisions made or actions taken by the school board while you were in office that you personally disagreed with? And if so, explain.
Well, I disagreed pretty strongly with pretty much every COVID mitigation that we did. Everybody pretty much knew about that. But because I was a strong advocate voice against that, was happy that we were able to keep those mitigations some of the least restrictive in the state, even though they were more restrictive than they should have been. And was happy to be part of the vote to get kids back to school earlier than other districts and to get masks off our kids. I actually personally pulled my daughter out of sports and when they wanted to have them wear masks because I just felt like it was inappropriate. And she lost her junior year of volleyball for that. Regarding the issue that Ms. Bartaldo discussed, that was one actually I tried to get an amendment for because I didn't like the one at a time either. I wanted to get it up to 3. It is unlimited. You can do as many as you want, only one at a time. The district really can't handle more than that. So as far as if there's more, and if people have other complaints or other ones they want to challenge, they can always bring other people in to challenge other materials. So it was sort of a moot point. You can still get as many challenges, but it's unlimited. It's just one at a time.
All right, thank you both for those answers. This is KSRM's coverage of Decision 2023, featuring Lindsay Bartaldo and Jason Torianen. Both are running for Kenai Peninsula Borough Board of Education. If you would like to hear past forums, you can visit our election hub at radiokenai.com. KSRM's Election Hub 2023 has everything you need to know about every candidate in the upcoming borough and municipal elections. You'll also find details on how to locate your polling election area. Yes. So when we come back, we'll give each candidate more time to talk about what questions we have for them.
Live from the KSRM studios on KB Road, KSRM 920 AM and 92.5 FM presents Decision 2023. Tonight, we feature the candidates for Kenai Peninsula Borough Board of Education, District 3, Nikiski. In studio are candidates Jason Torianen and Lindsay Bartaldo. During tonight's forum, you'll hear their opinions on the issues that matter to you. And now, here's your host for tonight's forum on KSRM, Adriana Hernandez-Santana.
And welcome back. Thank you for joining us for KSRM's 2023 Candidate Forum Series. Let's now continue with our Board of Education candidates from District 3, Jason Torianen and Lindsay Bartaldo. I do want to let you guys know now that we are going to start getting into the more hard questions, the more difficult questions. So, Ms. Bartaldo, we are going to start with you. Teachers and families have complained that the standards and requirements of the Alaska Reads Act, like the Qualified Reading Instructor Certification, have extra loaded work on them. Do you feel like teachers in our district are overworked, underworked, or have been allotted an appropriate amount of educational duties? And please explain your answer.
I think that it's maybe less of the Alaska Reads Act that's doing that and more of the curriculum. I think read by nine and by third grade seems like a bar actually too low. What happened to reading in first grade? I wouldn't be worried about reading by nine in third grade. I'd want to do it before then and get them up to speed by then so that they're proficient in it. As far as the curriculum, I think that that's the problem. I think that that teachers just do not want to teach it because of the content, but also because they didn't have the time to really get it down themselves before having to introduce it to the students. There's just too much content and too little time for them to cover it all.
Thank you. Same question for you, Mr. Torian. Teachers and families have complained that the standards and requirements of the Alaska Reads Act, like the Qualified Reading Instructor Certification, have loaded extra work on them. Do you feel like teachers in our district are overworked, underworked, or have been allotted an appropriate amount of educational duties? And please explain your answer.
Okay. Sorry, we're about to jump on the shuttle here. So, I believe our teachers are overworked sometimes. They have a lot on their plate. A lot of our teachers put in extra time. I would love to see. It's one of the things why I advocated for maybe a change to the school week, if that's something that the community wants to do, to give them more time to work on another day. Most elementary school teachers work on the weekends as well, try to get grading done. And also finding time to train. So anytime we roll a new curriculum out, it's always difficult. It's always a challenge. It's something that the district's aware of, something we're aware of on the board. Try to add extra time for them to be able to do training. We provide training. But I do think we can do more. And so I'd like to see us do more of that. But part of that's going to come with funding, because we just can't afford to add extra training days if we're not adequately funded to be able to do that. And so we got to be as creative as we can to do it within the constraints we have.
All right. Thank you both for those answers. Mr. Torianen, this next question, we are going to start with you. Excuse me. It's my understanding that the school board works alongside the borough when it comes to funding. Senator Jesse Bjorkman recently stated that funding for education was down a substantial amount, $300 million since 2015. How can parents expect to see a change in this deficit if you are reelected?
Okay. Sorry, somebody was talking to me. Will you repeat that question?
Yeah, so Senator Jesse Bjorkman recently stated that the funding for education was down a substantial amount. How can parents expect to see a change in this deficit if you're reelected?
Of education funding?
Yes.
So we're not responsible for the funding. We're responsible for budgeting what's available. What you can count on from me is a strong advocate with the Alaska legislature for adequate funding, which is in our state constitution. We are constitutionally obligated to fund public education. And so I will advocate for that both with the assembly and with the Alaska legislature and the governor. And so we can't create funds within the board. It's just, we don't have any taxation powers. All we do is we budget as effectively as we can with the funding that we end up getting. But I will be a tireless voice to adequately fund public education as required by our state constitution.
All right, Ms. Bertaldo, the same question for you. It's my understanding that the school board works alongside the borough when it comes to the funding. Senator Jesse Bjorkman recently stated that funding for education was down a substantial amount, $300 million since 2015. How can parents expect to see a change in this deficit if you're elected?
So I think one thing that we need to do is recognize that, yes, we're constitutionally required to fully fund, and we want to reward our teachers for the work that they're doing and make sure our children have the materials, education materials, and things that they need to learn. We're only constitutionally required, however, to fund schools and not athletic clubs or, I don't know, free meals. That's just not the role that schools are supposed to be doing. Their role is to educate, and with numbers like we're seeing, test results like we're seeing, it's hard to call it a school if they're not learning. And so my goal would be to increase literacy, get those test scores up. And so I think that would cause people to be more excited about fully funding our schools.
All right. Thank you for that. Next question, going back to you. When you have a lot of items to address, how are you going to determine which one has the highest priority in comparison to the others?
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. When you have a lot of items that you need to address, how are you going to determine which one is going to take higher priority?
Wow, that's a great question. But I think that to me, the what is apparent is what everybody can agree on is that we need to get results for what we're paying for our schools. And so whatever it takes to get those results. And I think I think I touched on that. But mainly, we need to have a curriculum that is proven and that our teachers feel comfortable with, that our parents feel comfortable with, and that our students feel comfortable with. And so why reinvent the wheel? If we know Aurora Borealis is doing great, and one of those reasons is because they stick with curriculum for a long time, then maybe that's something that we should be doing, and we should go back to a curriculum that we're comfortable with or try Aurora Borealis since we know that they're doing well with it. Why double down on what we know is failing? And so that's what I would advocate for first, right off the bat.
All right, Mr. Torianen, same question to you. When you have a lot of items to address, how do you determine which one takes the highest priority over the others?
Well, the things that take highest priority for me over the others would be that we're doing meeting our mission to educate all students. So that's just the broad overall view. But in a more real sense, it would be that I'm attacking issues that are important to the people of Nikiski and Tyonek, who I represent. And so I make sure to focus on those if any of those kind of issues come up. Other than that, whatever I have assignments on the board, being on the finance committee, I spend a lot of time going into budgets and trying to understand that to be a good steward fiscally of the things that we do and focus on that. I also spend time looking at curriculum, and I do believe curriculum should always be vetted. Can I respond now to some of the comments that were made about that? Is that where I get the 30 seconds to respond?
Yes, no? Yes, you have 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. So regarding the curriculum was actually purchased by a grant to the state for the READS Act. It was just purchased. We don't know whether it really works or doesn't work. We know that it has worked for some states that have already used it. We chose one that was rolled out in Florida, which did see some excellent results there, and that's one of the reasons it was picked, and also for its adaptability. We're not doubling down on something that doesn't work. If it doesn't work, we're going to get rid of it and do something different. And I'm down with using tried and true curriculum. I've always said that. I've always been an advocate of that on the board. But I think our schools are doing a great job. We have a lot of great stories in our schools, and standardized tests are not the only measure. So we have teachers doing an amazing job, and I sort of resent the idea that our schools are not schools, that comment that was made by my opponent.
All right, Ms. Bertaldo, your response.
12% proficiency in math at Nikiski Middle High, Jason, really? That how do you call that a school? And I realize that there's other tests and things that you guys use, like MAP, but even that says that it doesn't measure mastery. No real measurement, it doesn't tell us what they're proficient in as far as, you know, their grade level. You're just not able to show that you have good results, and especially when employers are having trouble hiring people who can do the job. I mean, that's evidence that you guys are doing something wrong.
When we come back, we will give each candidate the opportunity to pose a question to their opponent. This is KSRM's coverage of Decision 2023 on KSRM 920 AM, 92.5 FM, and RadioKenai.com.
Welcome back to KSRM's coverage of Decision 2023 on KSRM 920 AM, 92.5 FM, and RadioKenai.com.
Good evening. I'm Liliana Hernandez Santana. Let's now continue with Board of Education candidates from District 3, Jason Torianen and Lindsay Bertaldo. So we are going to let you each ask each other a question. So, Ms. Bertaldo, if there is any question that you would like to ask Mr. Torianen, this is your time. And then, Mr. Torianen, you will have 60 seconds to respond, and it will go back to Ms. Bertaldo if she feels there's something else she'd like to say. If that then continues, you have another 30 seconds, and then the question is dead. Sound good? Yeah?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, awesome. So, Ms. Bertaldo, if there is a question that you would like to ask Mr. Torianen, now is your time.
Okay. If you're a conservative, like you've claimed, social and physically, why is it that you ask for funding to the cap and increase BSA regardless of the lack of results as far as the education of our students? Why are we in debt?
So, is it my turn to answer now?
Yes, this is your time.
So we're actually not in debt. We save money, and we have a deficit, and we're using savings to pay for that to keep staffing levels up to where we've had the PTR traditionally, and that we're going to, as far as being a fiscal conservative on schools, the reason why I know our schools are doing a good job because I visit them, and so I go into them, I see them, and I know the challenges that our teachers have with people that come in. Students that come in that have gaps in their learning, maybe they're right at times where they have to come up against a test that's coming.
You still there? All right. I'm sorry. We've lost you. You still present, Mr. Torianen? All right, so from what you were able to gather from his response, your 30 seconds on your feelings on that.
I'm sorry, there just wasn't enough that I heard to be able to really reply to that.
Okay. All right, so ask. Yeah, are you still with us? No? Okay. So then we're actually going to jump to another question, and then when he's able to join us again, then he can try joining us again. So, Ms. Bertaldo, the Matsu School District just pulled 56 books from its libraries to review and determine if they should remain on the shelves. Some of the titles include The Handmaid's Tale and The Kite Runner. The rationale behind this decision was to prevent children from the age under 16 from being exposed to sexually explicit or pornographic material. Do you agree with this decision from the Matsu? If not, why? If yes, would you support a similar action? Go ahead.
Yes, I do agree with it, and yes, I do support it, and would support it here, and I think that my constituents would as well. I'm flabbergasted that minors over 16 are even allowed to be exposed to porn at school, and of course, children under 16 should not be either. I was in high school just 2 decades ago, and there was nobody talking about exposing anyone under the age of 18 to pornographic materials in school libraries, nor did the school libraries even order such things. I think any librarian who thinks pornography and sexually explicit materials are appropriate in a school library maybe isn't suited for a job in schools, full stop.
All right, thank you for that. All right, Mr. Torianen, I'm going to go back real quick. I'm going to ask you this one question, and then you'll be able to ask Ms. Bertaldo your question. But first, the Matsu School District just pulled 56 books from its libraries to review to determine if they should remain on the shelves. Some of these titles include The Handmaid's Tale and The Kite Runner. The rationale behind this decision was to prevent children from under the age of 16 from being exposed to sexually explicit or pornographic material. Do you agree with this decision from the Matsu? If not, why? If yes, would you support a similar action in the Kenai Peninsula School District?
So, yeah, any materials goes through a process using the policy that the board puts in place to examine materials. If a material is deemed inappropriate, I 100% believe it should be pulled out. I don't think inappropriate materials should be in our schools. Never have, never will. And so as far as a specific thing that the Mat-Su School District does, I'm not going to weigh in on everything that every other school district does. I'm worried about KPBSD and what we do. We have good policies in place to be able to address those things. If there's mistakes that happen with something that comes in our schools, then I believe that they will be addressed quickly and appropriately as soon as they become made aware. And I have zero desire to have any kind of pornographic materials in our libraries and would never advocate for that.
All right. Thank you for that. I am going to give you the opportunity now to ask Ms. Bertoldo any question that you have thought of right now. So like I mentioned previously, she will have 60 seconds to respond. It will go back to you for 30 and then back to her if she feels deemed necessary for another 30. And then that question is dead. So whatever question you'd like to ask her, now is your time.
Yeah. So you said a few times about how you don't feel like they could be really called to schools because of one standardized test score that may or may not be right. Or may not be accurate based on the mistake being the cut score that was addressed at the last board meeting, and they're still looking into that. But my question is, what other metrics do you use to determine whether our schools are having some success or not? And have you visited, how much time have you visited our schools in Nikiski and or Tyanuk?
Oh, sorry. I'm not sure how much time I've spent in schools. I mean, I've certainly been in, I'm sure, one or two of them. But as far as what I use to gauge, reports from employers, including my husband, who are having trouble employing young people, as well as reports from other teachers, current teachers and ex-teachers and ex-staff, reports from parents and testimonies that I've heard from students recently. So that's what I would use to gauge that.
All right, back to you, Mr. Torianin, 30 seconds.
Yeah, have you heard any positives about our schools? Have you heard any parents that really love our schools and talk about the successes they've had? And how much do you weigh those in your seemingly unending criticism of how our schools and our teachers are doing in the building?
I certainly have heard positive things, and I don't have time to address all the positive things because, unfortunately, in this campaign, my focus has to be on why I believe that I'm the better candidate. And so in that role, I have to focus on the negative of what I'm seeing now and how I think that I can bring some solutions to that.
Red.
All right, perfect. Thank you for both of those questions. We do have time for one more question real fast. So we're going to start with you, Ms. Bertoldo. The topic of Soldotna Elementary reconstruction has come under scrutiny lately, given its dramatic increase in estimated cost. Critics of the reconstruction have suggested that the building, which previously operated as Soldotna Middle School and Soldotna Prep School, would be suitable for a cramped space and outdated of the Soldotna Elementary. Do you agree? If you do, what would you do to see that happen? And if not, what do you think the best course of action is for the school's reconstruction project?
I agree that we should take a closer look at that and that it might be a good alternative. And I think it might have been Dwayne Bannock's idea. And he points out that it, you know, would resolve traffic issues when parents drop off and pick up their kids, that it gets kids away from the road, and which are two huge problems with the current location being looked at. So, yeah, I think it's something that we should look at closer and see what would be the most practical. And I do think that it's possible that just making some changes to the way it's set up right now might be more cost efficient.
All right. Same question for you, Mr. Torianin.
So, yeah, there has been a lot of input, both from community and the different bodies involving the bond. There are some legal restrictions on what you can and can't do with the bond, so I can't answer all those questions right now.
But I know there's some things you can and cannot do with bond money. I'm always open to better ways to do things. I've had people reach out to me about other contractors that potentially have bid cheaper than other jobs. I forward that information on as a constant advocacy. So if we can do things better, then that's what I'm going to do. But or that's what I'm going to recommend. But also knowing that I'm on a board, so I'm only one vote on a board, and the whole board has to, or the majority of the board has to vote to agree on these things. But ultimately, I believe everybody involved wants to do the best thing fiscally with the bond. They are the borough's buildings, not the school districts. The borough owns the buildings. The bond is done in conjunction with borough leadership and the previous borough mayor. And the current borough administration is doing a great job trying to find the best way to deal with this in these tough economic times.
All right. We are now going to go to our closing remarks. So each party will have 30 seconds to say their last bit about themselves and stuff like that. So we are going to start with Mr. Torianen. You have 30 seconds.
Yeah, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk this evening. And I guess one thing I always like to do is, you know, focus on positives. So I believe there's a lot of great things happening in our school district. That's why I'm really proud to represent our school district. I'm also not blind to things that we can get better in. And I think we can always strive to get better, even if we're doing amazing in everything. We still work to get better on things. And the best way to do that is to be in touch with the parents and the teachers and the students, and to strive for excellence and make KPBSD schools the best schools they can be.
Ms. Bartaldo?
Yes, I just want to let people know that they can reach me at 907-420-7479. Or email me at akgrizzlymama@icloud.com. And I would appreciate your vote on October 3rd.